MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, January 3, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore, and stories we're covering today: swearing-in ceremonies continued here on the North Shore yesterday. Two educational leaders in Marblehead stepped down under pressure, and three men apprehended after a car crash on Route 95.
I'm Bill Newell, and coming up just a bit later in sports, two high school hockey teams that are doing well meet tonight against each other. Rick?
All right. Thanks, Bill. Sunny, low 40s today, high tide Gloucester Harbor, 4:18 p.m. Three young men were taken into custody yesterday after fleeing the scene of a crash in Rowley. WCVB-TV is reporting that state police were chasing a vehicle at 2:35 yesterday afternoon on Route 95 North in Boxford. The Dodge Charger with Florida license plates went off the road on the exit ramp at the Route 133 exit near the Rowley-Georgetown line. The three men then fled the scene, but were all found by police at about 3:20 in the afternoon, with police using canine units. We have a photo below on this post provided by state police. Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill, along with city councilors and school committee members, were sworn into office yesterday at Beverly High School. Beverly has one new city councilor, Ward 2's Danielle Spang, who is replacing Estelle Rand, who did not run for re-election. Mayor Cahill told the audience in Beverly that his administration will focus on infrastructure projects in the coming year.
With older municipal buildings and needed improvements to our roads, sidewalks, and intersections, financial resources need to be set aside to address these areas in meaningful ways. In the coming weeks and months, I will request funds from the City Council to make necessary improvements to the main library as well as City Hall. And we will break ground this summer for the construction of a new McPherson Youth Center on the existing site. In addition, I will request a transfer from the city's free cash to add resources to our road and sidewalk budget in this fiscal year.
Mayor Cahill added that affordable housing will be another focus point for his administration.
We also know that many of our residents, homeowners, and renters alike are struggling to afford to live in Beverly. Even though we alone cannot solve the regional housing problem, we must continue to do all we can. During the last term, we strengthened our inclusionary housing ordinance to require more permanently affordable housing with each new development in the city. We also passed a new accessory dwelling unit ordinance, and we continue to actively support the creation of new permanent affordable housing, the Anchor Point neighborhood for families, new homes for seniors through the rehabilitation of Briscoe Middle School into Beverly Village for Living in the Arts, and new apartments at the YMCA downtown for individuals needing supportive services.
The entire ceremony can be viewed on BevCam's YouTube channel, and we will feature all of Cahill's remarks later in this podcast on North Shore Today Extra. BBD Mayor Ted Betancourt was sworn into office yesterday by Governor Maura Healey. We have photos posted below. Salem News reporter Caroline Enos writes today that Betancourt says that 2024 is about another year of development and preservation for Peabody. He added that serving as mayor has been a highlight in his life. Lynn also held a swearing-in ceremony last night for city councilors and school committee members. On Monday, Salem swore in city councilors and school committee members as well. Mayor Dominic Pangelo gave his first State of the City address, where he touched on several themes, including housing and specifically those without housing.
A city that works for everyone is a city where every neighbor has a home and one that they can afford. Last year in Massachusetts, there were 2.5 new housing permits issued for every 1,000 residents, the ninth lowest rate in America and half the nationwide average. In Salem, that figure was 1.1. If Salem were a state, we would be 49th. Meanwhile, Salem Public Schools are teaching 247 homeless students in our classrooms, over 100 more than this time last year. At this moment, 104 families, close to 350 people, including homeless infants and toddlers, are living in former dorms at Salem State University. Neighbors are living in cars, in tents, in crisis. You and I, we represent everyone in this city, whether they have a roof over their head or not. They're our constituents, and we have a shared responsibility to help them.
Pangelo also stated that he plans to work with the city council in an attempt to create additional housing in Salem. Marblehead Public Schools Director of Student Services, Paula Donnelly, and Associate Director, Emily Dean, have resigned. Daily Item reporter Ryan Vermette is writing in today's paper that the resignations come week after criticisms from the Marblehead Education Association, which called for their removal. The issue began when the district placed four educators at the Glover School on paid leave last year due to an incident involving the physical restraint of one or more dysregulated students. Swampscott police are investigating multiple car breaks in the Clark School area during the overnight hours on Monday. If you have a surveillance camera, please check for anything or anyone suspicious. If your vehicle was one that was gone through, please call 781-595-1111. Also on January 1 overnight, a home and vehicle were entered in the Pine Hill Road, Sargent Road area. If anyone has information that can aid with investigating these crimes or would like to report any suspicious events, please contact the Swampscott Police Department. In business news, several Massachusetts locations for the TGI Fridays restaurants have abruptly closed. According to Boston 25 News, this includes the Danvers location on Route 1. Sports next with Bill Newell, and again, following sports, you can hear Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill's inaugural address in its entirety on North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage, giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics lost on the road to Oklahoma last night, 127-123. The Bruins beat Columbus 4-1 last night. This is Bees coach Jim Montgomery.
Yes, really pleased. You know, they played a big, heavy game, and you know, that third goal that extended the lead was huge for us.
In high school girls basketball last night, Peabody improved to 4-0 on the season with a 57-43 win over Swampscott. Peabody coach Stan McKean.
Well, we hadn't played for 2 weeks, so, you know, it kind of showed, it, especially in that first quarter, which I was afraid of. Swampscott's a good team. They worked hard throughout the game. They're quick, fast. We missed some shots early in the game. Our defense did not play that well tonight until the fourth quarter. We were in a hurry to shoot the ball tonight. We're only taking 10, 12 seconds off the clock and leaving. They were a patient team moving the ball until they got a shot. But, you know, overall, I'll take it. It's a win after not playing for 2 weeks.
For Swampscott, they are now 3-3 on the season under coach Caitlin Leonard, who was not totally disappointed with the loss, as she likes some of the things she saw out on the court last night.
Yeah, PBD's a great team. They have four or five girls that can just shoot the lights out, but I thought, you know, we scrapped and we played tough defense, and we got out in transition, and I think that was our best offense today. And I thought we gave a great effort. As much as the scoreboard, you know, didn't go the way we wanted, I'm happy with the way we played.
In high school hockey, boys action tonight, the big game watch. It finds Swampscott 3-0-2 playing at 5-2 Masconomet this evening. Masco coach Andrew Bopel, his senior class, has been strong this year.
Yeah, I think that we have a really good returning group of seniors. I think we have 11 or 12 seniors this year. It really starts with our captains, Anthony Cerboni, Brady Ford, and Chris Sacco. Chris is our goalie. Anthony was a defenseman. Brady came in as a forward. So, you know, we liked that we had captains kind of in each position. And then after only a couple games, we realized that we kind of needed a little more depth of defense, and we moved Brady back. So he's been doing great back there, and their leadership, the three of them, has been great. And we have a bunch of other seniors that are really stepping up as well.
Masco coach Andrew Bopel. Masco can score goals, but Swampscott and their coach Gino Fea have had a big focus this year on team defense.
Well, that was one of the things we kind of talked about that we needed to improve on this year, team defense. And that starts in goal. Right now, sophomore Dom Popolato has been playing for us. As Jason Buffard, our senior goalie, has been out injured. And he's been on fire all year long. He hasn't had a weak game yet, a weak goal against. He's just been tremendous. And then our 4D have all been solid. Senior captain Quinn Hitchcock, senior Frankie Popolato, and senior Ben Peloso, along with sophomore Jason Rothwell. And then we have kind of a swingman, Joey Pilot, either plays forward or D for us, wherever we need him. And they've all been solid, as have the forwards. Everyone's, you know, concentrating on Team D, and, you know, we're blocking shots, we're defending, we're just going out and playing tough.
Big Blue coach Gino Fea. We do have a post-up today with local scores from last night, including details on the Endicott men's and women's basketball teams beating Gordon last night on the road. And finally, we are saddened to report the passing of Mike Soper of Peabody. He died recently following a year-long battle with cancer. Soper was 70 years old. He was a standout athlete at Salem High and had retired from Moynihan Lumber, where he worked for many years. Soper was a great local sports fan and always very supportive of our North Shore local teams. There is more information available in today's Salem News. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Wednesday, everybody, and be sure to keep listening in just a moment for North Shore Today Extra, featuring Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill.
We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
This is North Shore Today Extra for Wednesday, January 3rd. These are the entire remarks from Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill yesterday at his inaugural at Beverly High School as he begins his 11th year as mayor in the city of Beverly.
Hi, everybody. It is so good to see you all. Jazz band, vocal ensemble, and the junior ROTC, you're all fantastic. You jazz banders, especially you trumpeters, might be interested in knowing that our master of ceremonies, Tim Cahill, was a trumpeter in the jazz band and quite a good one. So, and I also want to recognize our dear friend, former city councilor Scott DeLay. Scott, I know you're doing great work with the district attorney, but you sat here and you served the city well as a councilor. So thanks for being here with us. So good afternoon. Happy New Year. And welcome to everyone here and those watching from home on BevCam. It is truly an honor to stand before you today as your newly re-elected mayor of Beverly for the 2023-2024 term of office. I am grateful to so many people today and every day, to you Beverly residents and voters, my supporters, friends, and campaign volunteers. Every candidate for elective office who succeeds only does so thanks to incredible amounts of goodwill, hard work, and belief by supporters in that candidate's ethics, their vision, their talent, and their commitment to always giving their best to serve the people and the community they're elected to represent and lead. So thank you to everyone who has helped place me in this position today. In this spirit, I am most especially grateful today for all my family, to my brothers and sisters-in-law, my nephews and niece, thanks Gianna, to Tashu and the boys, and to Patrick, my 2.5-year-old great-nephew who joined his dad and his grandfather and held signs for me this fall, becoming the first Cahill in his generation to campaign for me. Thank you all so much. I love you very much. To my colleagues on the school committee and our partners on the city council, it's great to be with you today. Congratulations to you all and to your supporters, friends, and families who have helped elect you all. To new Ward 2 City Councilor Dan, I know we all look forward to working with you. To all City Councilors and School Committee members, I'm excited that we can continue together to serve our community to the very best of our collective abilities over these next 2 years. At its core, local government works to meet community needs, to deliver high-quality services day in and day out, that enhance the quality of life for our residents and our local businesses. Education, public safety, senior and veterans programs, public health, and so much more. City government works to invest in and improve our city infrastructure, including our roads and sidewalks, all of which we will continue to aggressively pursue. With older municipal buildings and needed improvements to our roads, sidewalks, and intersections, financial resources need to be set aside to address these areas in meaningful ways. In the coming weeks and months, I will request funds from the City Council to make necessary improvements to the main library as well as City Hall. And we will break ground this summer for the construction of a new McPherson Youth Center on the existing site. In addition, I will request a transfer from the city's free cash to add resources to our road and sidewalk budget in this fiscal year. City government also needs to manage the city's finances in a responsible way, building reserves so that we can continue to invest in both our infrastructure and the high-quality services that we are responsible to deliver every year. We need to be able to continue to deliver them both today and then right on through the next economic hard time, whenever it might arrive. As it is our talented and committed city staff who provide these services and do much of the work to improve our infrastructure, I want to recognize and thank all our staff in our various departments and all our department heads in both the municipal and school departments. These people work hard and give so much of themselves throughout the year to serve our community. Many of them are in the room today, so I want to thank you all. At present, this work we have the privilege to do includes advocating to ensure that key state and private sector projects move forward on the quickest timeline possible, while addressing residents' and businesses' needs along the way. Specifically, the state's Three Beverly Bridges project, the Varian Cleanup project, National Grid's 115 kV electric transmission line project, all of which we're blessed to have incredible partners at both the state and federal level working with us daily. Progress is being made on these projects, and we will continue to work our hardest on behalf of our community to push the state, to push Varian, and to push National Grid to complete these projects. And there's so much more for us to do. We as city leaders are responsible for ensuring that Beverly is truly a community where everyone belongs and can be safe, where there is access and opportunity and equity for all our residents and all our visitors. This important work continues daily in Beverly. We also know that many of our residents, homeowners, and renters alike are struggling to afford to live in Beverly. Even though we alone cannot solve the regional housing problem, we must continue to do all we can. During the last term, we strengthened our inclusionary housing ordinance to require more permanently affordable housing with each new development in the city. We also passed a new accessory dwelling unit ordinance, and we continue to actively support the creation of new permanent affordable housing, the Anchor Point neighborhood for families, new homes for seniors through the rehabilitation of Briscoe Middle School into Beverly Village for Living in the Arts, and new apartments at the YMCA downtown for individuals needing supportive services. Finding and keeping stable housing is a challenge for many, and we will continue to do all in our power to support our residents. On three other important fronts, I'm excited to launch new efforts in the coming year. First, in partnership with the City Council, we will ask the City's Economic and Community Development Council to engage with and evaluate the strengths and the needs of our local business community and to make recommendations for how the city can best support our local businesses. In this effort, we will turn for help to key community partners, including the Greater Beverly Chamber of Commerce, Beverly Main Streets, business owners, commercial property owners, and others. Second, partnering with the City Council and the School Committee and our school leadership, and drawing on experiences and best practices developed in other cities, we will create and launch a Beverly Youth Council. Our goal will be to provide a venue for Beverly's young people to both learn about local government and to weigh in and advocate as we city leaders make policies and decisions, many of which will affect our youth in both the near and longer terms. I want to thank Beverly Middle School 8th grade students Jeremy Coolidge and Courtney Daly for their advocacy, their initiative, and their courage in bringing this idea forward and making an articulate and convincing case to city councilors and to me. I'm excited to make our Beverly Youth Council a reality over this coming year. Third, I can't imagine a more important challenge we must tackle for our children and our grandchildren than the climate crisis. Together, we in Beverly have made real progress over the last decade as a city government. We have sited nearly 9.5 megawatts of clean, renewable solar energy on city properties, and we've implemented the first several steps in the transition of our school vehicle fleet to electric, while also making strides in electrifying our city fleet and installing needed electric vehicle charging stations. With our city buildings, we have invested in many energy efficiency projects and in highly efficient, clean geothermal heating and cooling systems. We have and continue to learn much with each important step we take. And now it's time to broaden and elevate our efforts and the profile of this work. Beverly is a city of 42,000 people. We have over 17,000 residential homes, a thriving local economy with millions of square feet of building space to light, heat, and cool. We have thousands of residents commuting out of Beverly and thousands more employees commuting in on a daily basis. We, like many communities, have focused on cutting our greenhouse gas emissions as a local government. And yet, our own emissions are a small percentage of the overall emissions citywide. Today and the next few years are critical in limiting climate change so that our planet can continue to support the lives we all want for our children and our grandchildren. Simply put, fossil fuels have long powered and still power most of our lives, how we build, how we move ourselves and everything we use, how we heat and cool our buildings, how we grow food and feed ourselves. And emitting greenhouse gases from burning all these fossil fuels has to stop. Last month at COP28, the annual United Nations Climate Change Conference, nearly 200 countries signed an agreement to phase out fossil fuels worldwide, because fossil fuels are overwhelmingly the greatest contributor to the climate crisis. It has taken the world too long to achieve this level of agreement, so we need to act with urgency. The transition to powering our world with clean, renewable energy largely has to happen in a matter of years, not decades. Every city and town in the world needs to do this hard and crucial work and do it now. The time here in Beverly is now to engage our whole community directly in this effort. Our climate action plan, completed in 2021, shows that most of our greenhouse gas emissions locally come from our building and transportation sectors. Most of the buildings in Beverly are owned, and most of the driving in Beverly is done not by city government, but rather by the rest of the community. So over the coming months, we will start the broader conversation. We will learn how our community is doing, and we will seek shared commitments from commercial and institutional property owners and employers, and from Beverly residents, that alongside our continued city efforts can translate to meaningful action and much greater collective progress. The good news is that our city sustainability team is already doing fantastic work with key local partners like Green Beverly, Change is Simple, the Greater Beverly Chamber of Commerce, our own Clean Energy Advisory Committee, and others. We've been educating and we've been promoting and offering free home energy assessments to both residents and business owners, and people have responded. Many home energy audits and many energy efficiency projects have been completed in Beverly over the last 2 years, and much more action is needed. I'm excited to partner with my colleagues on the City Council and School Committee, with other community leaders, with our state and federal legislative and administrative partners, and our many dedicated city staff and department heads in launching the Beverly Climate Partnership. There is much to accomplish in a brief time, and I believe firmly our community will meet this challenge. So what I've shared just now is really only a snapshot of work we will do together in the coming 2 years. I'm energized and I'm determined, because all our work matters, and together we can make a positive difference for the people of Beverly and beyond. I'm grateful today that we as city leaders are blessed with this opportunity to serve our community, to serve our children and our grandchildren, and to do the important work that is needed. Thank you all. I can't wait to get going.
Beverly Mayor Mike Cahill speaking Tuesday afternoon at Beverly High School, his inaugural address as he begins his 11th year as mayor of the city of Beverly. This is North Shore Today Extra on MSONewsSports.com.